Veritas Academy was chosen by Niche as the number one Christian and private school in Northern Virginia and third in the state of Virginia. Have coffee with the headmaster every Tuesday morning. Schedule your visit now. VeritasAcademyDC.com. VeritasAcademyDC.com.
Now, on News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
O'Connor and Company.
6:07, it's O'Connor and Company this Tuesday morning in your nation's capital. It's Larry O'Connor along with Julie Gunlock here at the WMAL Mothership.
Good morning.
It's the Mothership. coming up later this morning. It makes it sound like we're aliens. That's why I like saying it. It's the Mothership. Coming up in just 30 minutes. We're going to speak with James J. Carafano. He is a national security expert out of Heritage, a military veteran. He'll comment on the Afghanistan withdrawal, I should say. 705 Bethany Mandel is going to join us, just a mom trying to raise her kids without masks. 715, Reardon Sully Sullivan wants to be your Montgomery County executive. 735, Beverly Harzog of U.S. News and World Report. 805, Dave Bossy to comment on the Mar-a-Lago raid. And then at 835, Mark Morano from Climate Depot on the Green New Deal that's really an inflation reduction law. All that is coming up, but let's give you the latest out of this Mar-a-Lago raid as we learned more information yesterday. We've got this chess game going on between Trump's lawyers and the Justice Department, it seems. And it's playing out in the media, of course. And the latest gambit was Trump saying, listen, I authorized the release of not only the search warrant, but the affidavits that led to the search warrant. I release what you got, release what you took, release it all. Full transparency. This is an unprecedented move. Everyone agrees that this is an unprecedented move. It's never been done in the American history. So clearly you've got to, let's just let everybody see so there's no question. And by the way, there's also this report that before Merrick Garland made his statement, as things were getting really, really tense last week, President Trump reached out to the Justice Department and said, listen, things are getting really, really heated right now, and I would like to be a part of calming things down.
Yeah.
What can we do here to work together to calm things down? Which I think says something about Trump's approach to this and Trump's temperament, which I keep hearing is, you know, unprecedented. As far as I know, Merrick Garland didn't respond went ahead and did his press conference, which frankly angered more people the way he went about presenting the information. So Trump has said, release it all. I don't oppose anything. I'm an open book. Let's be transparent. Let's put it all out there. The Justice Department, although they are going through the motions of getting the search warrant put out there, they refuse to show the affidavits that led to.
And they claim it's national security, it's intelligence.
Well, he says it would serve as a roadmap to the government's ongoing investigation, providing specific details about its direction and likely course in a matter that is highly likely to compromise future investigative steps. In other words, we don't want to tell you anything because that might help you defend yourself.
Yeah, jeez.
Which, you know, again, justice. Listen, I get it. I understand. You know, it's funny. We always used to joke about the fact that a U.S. attorney could indict a ham sandwich through a grand jury.
Yeah.
And we used to say, yeah, that tells you how powerful the Justice Department is. Maybe that's not a good thing.
Exactly.
Maybe the fact that the Justice Department could actually indict a ham sandwich is not something we should brag about and celebrate.
Yeah.
And I know that, you know, the storied legacy of the FBI goes back to really their first big get was Al Capone, right? So Al Capone is a local thug, local mobster, local mafia guy. The Chicago police is so corrupt that they're all on the take. They're all making money out of it, you know, because it's a city run by Democrats. And so the Justice Department has to go in there. J. Edgar Hoover sends his G-men in there. Elliot Ness goes in there. They're going to stop Al Capone because the local police can't be trusted to do it. And they finally, and then they get him on tax evasion, right?
Yeah.
And we always, it's like history. It's like legendary. It's like this great nostalgic bit about how great the FBI is and how great the U.S. Attorney's Office is and the Justice Department is, because if they want to get their guy, they're going to figure out how to get the guy. Sure, he was a mob boss. Sure, he was a guilty of larceny and prostitution and gambling and trafficking illegal booze and murder, but they got him on tax evasion, and all that matters is they got him. And I recognize that that's like this nostalgic, wonderful, spirited celebration of the FBI and the Justice Department. When we really think about it, though, it's kind of a little creepy. I'm glad they got Al Capone, don't get me wrong.
Sure.
But the fact that they basically went and said, it doesn't matter. You give us access, we will find a way to get this guy no matter what. It's like, I would have felt better if they could get him on murder.
Yeah.
I would have felt better if they could have got him on the prostitution stuff.
We're already seeing the narrative from the media and from the feds that if you believe that they overstepped, you're a conspiracist.
Yes.
You're out of line. This is totally within the bounds of the FBI and the Justice Department. We just went through this Russia collusion hoax,
yeah.
Okay, and millions of dollars on the Mueller probe, okay? I don't understand how you can't think, could things be planted?
Right.
Could things have been planted? This is not an unreasonable
theory. We know for a fact that the FBI lawyers lied on the FISA warrants to spy on Carter Page.
Yes.
And any other evidence that they put on the FISA warrants was manufactured by the Clinton campaign, and they knew it was manufactured.
And he kept going.
They just kept going.
Because they thought they were going to find something.
Right.
Eventually, they're going to find something. Right? So everything has failed. January 6th. Committee has failed. Mueller failed. Everything has failed, right, to get this guy. Why not plant some stuff?
Well,
and I know that people are going to be like, oh, Julie, you're such a conspiracist. But why should the American public not consider this?
Hey, you know how we'll feel better knowing that you didn't plant anything? Be transparent.
Well, not
show us everything.
Literally, Hillary Clinton, when you compare what she did.
Oh, please.
And there has been no raid on her house.
No.
There's been nothing. It is just, it is such a witch hunt for this guy.
We are also told that Merrick Garland deliberated for weeks over whether to approve the application for a warrant to search Mar-a-Lago or not. This is according to sources. By the way, again, we get all these stories in here based on sources from the Justice Department. I thought the Justice Department was supposed to be pristine, law-abiding, upright citizens that whose reputation should not be besmirched. Why do they keep leaking to the media?
Yeah.
What, that's an illegal leak right there. Garland deliberated for weeks over whether to approve the application for a warrant to search Mar-a-Lago. Sources tell. That's a leak. That's against the law. Why are they doing it? Well, because it makes Merrick Garland look good. But does it really make Merrick Garland look good? Because I thought that they were looking for nuclear secrets.
Right.
I thought they were looking for national security.
Right.
What are you deliberating for weeks about?
Right.
And you finally decide to go for it, and you execute the search warrant 91 days before Election Day because there's an unwritten rule that says you shouldn't do it within 90 days.
This is the thing. These guys know. Look, like it or not, they... The charges against Trump all along, I mean, look, he lost the election, okay? To them, this works. So they're just going back and trying it again.
Yes.
They're just doing the same thing. They know that this works. They are going to try to ruin his chances for 2024 or just signal to him, you better not run, because you said it earlier, this all goes away.
And it's not only about him. Let's be clear here. The initial Russian investigation and the leaks of information about Russian collusion, which was all a hoax and all a lie, it served a lot of purposes. First, to cripple the presidency before it even began.
Yep.
But it also kept good, upstanding people from joining the Trump administration.
That's right.
Because they got the message that this guy was dirty, this guy was in bed with Putin, and even if he wasn't, if you join the Trump administration, get ready for the investigations, get ready for lawyering up, get ready for your next 4 years being hell, because you're going to be under this microscope and you're probably going to be personally ruined. That's the message that's sent. It's criminalizing conservatism in this town. And in a moment, our friend Tucker Carlson is going to pick up this baton that I've thrown out there, because he had a great monologue about this yesterday. Because right now they're not just going after Trump. For the last year and a half, they've been going after everybody in his inner circle, even his personal attorneys, because they want to intimidate and terrify anybody who dares to even work for the guy. And represent him as a legal representative. We're going to get to that in a moment. And a great debate that happened yesterday over whether the DOJ sees Trump's passports or not. This is hilarious. Wait till you hear this one as well. More on the Mar-a-Lago raid in a moment. But first, it's 6:15 WMAL.
Finally, the truth behind the headlines. It's the Vince Colanese Show, weekdays 3 to 6 on WMAL.
I like to call it criminalizing conservatism. Yes, they're going after Trump in an unprecedented way. They're also going after everyone in his inner circle with investigations, and they all have to lawyer up. They're also going after anyone who is a legal counsel. You saw during the battle that Trump was trying to take up after Election Day, fighting against the election laws in some of these states, where lawyers, law firms who had signed on to represent the Trump campaign, they were bullied and intimidated by their other clients saying, if you take that, I'm going to take my business elsewhere. This and that was all done publicly through the media, through the press. Reporters would call up companies and say, did you know that your law firm is representing Donald Trump? What are you going to do about it? Yep. That's not journalism. That's activism. That's what they do. And make no mistake, it's Trump. It's his inner circle. It's his advisors. It's his lawyers. It's anybody who works with him. And ultimately, it's really about you for supporting him. That's what this is about. And Tucker Carlson last night, he had a brilliant amount of, boy, you said you hated being away for last week while this was rolling out. Imagine how Tucker felt.
Yeah.
Tucker was off all last week as well. He was back yesterday. It was a great monologue. Try to catch all of it. But here's a really important part.
Over the last 18 months, virtually every significant figure in the orbit around Donald Trump has been swept up by Merrick Garland's Department of Justice. Their homes raided, their personal communications seized and leaked to the media. Some have been arrested and thrown in jail. Donald Trump's lawyers are the primary targets. Today, the DOJ subpoenaed Eric Hirschman. He represented Trump during the first impeachment. Hirschman never worked in the White House counsel's office. The Biden administration is going after him anyway because he gave legal advice to his client, Donald Trump. That used to be allowed. People used to be allowed to have lawyers and speak to them privately, but that's not allowed anymore. That's why the CIA seized attorney-client records from Mar-a-Lago. It's also why the DOJ is now directly targeting Trump's most prominent personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani. For years, the feds have been going after Giuliani's associates, including a man called George Dixon. Dixon was working on a documentary about Hunter Biden. Last year, the FBI raided his home in California. The feds also broke into Giuliani's own apartment, as well as his office in New York. Then the FBI targeted a Giuliani associate called Igor Fruman because he dug up evidence of misconduct by Joe Biden in Ukraine. They sent Fruman to prison. Then the FBI seized the phone of prominent conservative attorney Victoria Tenzing. She'd worked with Giuliani in 2020 to investigate election fraud. They raided her home. Today, the DOJ announced that Giuliani himself is a target of a federal investigation. Why?
Well, you know why. It's criminalizing conservatism. He went on. It was a great monologue. But that's a good sample of how the Justice Department is going after the lawyers. And we learned, according to Trump, that attorney-client privileged information was seized in this FBI raid. Oh, I'm sure they'll return it. It'll be fine.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
Well, there's one way to survive this. You can spill the tea, as they say. You can go
that's
the
right.
Alyssa Farrar route, spill the tea, turn your back on your former boss, and get a big old contract.
Right. Cassidy Hutchinson did the same thing. Yep. And you're absolutely right. I mean, you're absolutely correct in comparing this to the January 6th committee hearings, because that's exactly what they've done as well. Anybody in the Trump orbit, they were all subpoenaed. They were all dragged in for this questioning. Everyone there had to lawyer up. Imagine taking a job in a way. They don't make a lot of money, these people.
No.
And suddenly you know that if you work in the Trump administration, you're probably going to have hundreds of thousands of dollars in legal fees.
You know, I've worked in Washington for a lot of years. I worked on Capitol Hill. And I remember people, you know, deciding to go to, you know, the Bush White House.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there was always this idea of, I mean, I know women who had young children who you know, say, I didn't see my kid for 2 years.
Yeah.
But they said, but then I'll be a consultant. I'll be set for life. Well, it wasn't that like that if you work for the Trump administration.
No, not
quite the
at
opposite.
All right. Coming up, the mystery over Trump's passports. Did they say? He said they did seize them, but Nora O'Donnell and CBS News says, no, that's fake news. Until it wasn't. We'll give you the details on that coming up in a moment. It's 6:21. So President Trump took to his social media platform, Truth Social. I wish he would take Joe DeGeneva's advice yesterday, which is keep your mouth shut.
Yeah, let
cut it out. But this is Trump, and this is what he does.
I
so
know.
He took to Truth Social, and he says, this is an outrage. They took my passports. The FBI took his passports, which, and again, if we could see the affidavits that led to the search warrant, we'd know whether the passports were critical. Why would they want to seize them other than
so
to keep
surprised.
Him from leaving the country?
Yeah, you'd think they'd want him to flee.
Right.
I mean,
he's got his own plane anyway.
France.
Yeah.
Not our problem.
So they took his passports, he said. Nora O'Donnell, CBS News, took to social media because why talk about anything on CBS News when you can tweet it instead? I don't get that about any of these news people who break their stories on Twitter.
Yeah.
New, according to a DOJ official, the FBI is not in possession of former President Trump's passports. Trump had accused the FBI of stealing his three passports during the search of his Mar-a-Lago home. All right. So now, again, let's just be clear here. A DOJ official said off the record, no, we didn't take his passports.
Yeah.
So then Trump produced an email from yesterday that said, we've learned that the filter agent seized three passports belonging to President Trump. Two expired and one being his active diplomatic passport. We're returning them and they will be ready for pickup later today at 2 p.m. So
this just proves they went in and they just took,
they just took everything. They took
and now they're going through and they'll return what they don't need.
Right.
And they're going to put a case together based on what they find.
My favorite thing yesterday was when this, you know, first they said Trump is lying when he says they took the passports. And then he produced the letter and says, oh, well, you know what? That's not your property anyway. That's U.S. government property. It's not your passport. Yeah. It's just it doesn't matter. None of it matters. We've got Dave Bossie coming up at 8:05 to comment on the Mar-a-Lago raid. Keep it here. It is 6:37 on O'Connor and Company on a really impactful Tuesday morning, if I may say so. 705 Bethany Mandel out of Montgomery County, a mom who just wants to send her kids to camp without masks. Is that so wrong?
The nerve.
715 Sully Sullivan wants to be the new Montgomery County executive. He'll change that policy. 735 Beverly Harzog of U.S. News and World Report on inflation. 805 Dave Bossie of Citizens United on that Mar-a-Lago raid. And then at 835 Mark Morano, Climate Depot, because apparently this Inflation Reduction Act, it's really just the Green New Deal.
No.
Yes, no. But no one wants to vote for that. So, yeah. Joining us right now from the Mighty Heritage Foundation, he's an Army veteran and he's the Vice President of National Security and Foreign Policy over there at Heritage, Lieutenant Colonel James J. Carafano. Jim, good to talk to you. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah. I can tell you why my jaw is on the floor this morning.
Why is that?
The U.S. administration was seriously negotiating with the Taliban to release $7 billion to them. So they just announced, well, we broke off talks because they've got terrorists there. But the fact they were even thinking about it is unbelievable. And this is the kicker that just wants me to jump out the window. Yesterday, they put out a press release proudly announcing they were sending $30 million to Afghanistan for humanitarian aid for gender and women issues.
Oh,
now,
stop.
No, you can't make this up. And for folks, so $30 million, and folks who don't know how this works, that $30 million, that'll go to some UN organization, and that will disappear to Afghanistan with zero oversight, zero accountability, and zero transparency.
Yep.
And the notion that that money is not winding up in the hands of the Taliban is just it's just laughable. And even as people are concerned about, well, corruption in Ukraine, you're giving money to terrorists, and you're worried about a Ukrainian government that's actually fighting a war against our enemies. It's nuts.
Well, and as we, I mean, it's obviously even more nuts looking back at the fact that this is the 1 year anniversary of that, the horrific scenes at the Kabul airport, Jim. And what is the White House's strategy here on this day? We saw their strategy during the State of the Union, which was they literally said nothing about it, even though we saw the death of 13 service members. Will they pretend like this was a huge success? What will they do, do you think?
Well, this may shock you. The White House doesn't clue me in much on their list.
Well, I wish they would, actually. They'd be better.
But, you know, just, you know, looking at what people have been tweeting and stuff, a lot of people have pointed out, isn't it kind of miraculous? The president just happens to go on vacation to the beach.
Oh, wow.
The week of the most, I wouldn't say the most disgraceful, but now it's probably like the second or third most disgraceful calamity in his foreign policy. Obviously the president doesn't want to talk about this. He's busy riding his bike on the beach. And honestly, it's not a good look. I mean, we're not introspective. We're not talking about how we can do better. We're giving $30 million, which is going to wind up in the hands of the Taliban. And we're, you know, we're saying there's nothing to see here. Look away. But, you know, there's a pattern here. I mean, not just avoiding Afghanistan. Look at Taiwan. We're really... Their attitude, since Pelosi refused not to go, is to really kind of sweep this under the rug and kind of let's just move on from this. Matter of fact, my good buddy Victoria Coates has an op-ed coming out saying that, you know, behind the scenes, the administration is talking to the Chinese and saying, well, can't you help us with the Russians?
Yeah.
So even if they're threatening to invade Taiwan, they're actually asking the Chinese to help them, you know, make the Russians be more reasonable.
James, really, really quick on back to Afghanistan. Can you give us an idea of what it's like for women in that country and some of the things that that have been happening recently in Afghanistan with women in the country?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, it's like the last 20 years have evaporated and never happened, and we are literally back to the way it was under the Taliban, which is the conditions of women are pretty much like the Stone Age. They're barred from anything significant in public life. Children are restricted to going to school. Women, children are barred from going to school. It's the most harshest. Life is so harsh for women and young girls in Afghanistan that even the most strictest Orthodox Muslim country in the world would look at this and say, this is a human rights abuse. Mm. And so it's completely appalling. And again, as sad and tragic as that, you know, we weren't in Afghanistan for the Afghans, you know, just like we're not in Ukraine for the Ukrainians.
Yeah.
We were there to protect an American interest. But the reality was, in protecting America's interests in Afghanistan, we were also making life better for 40 million people.
Yeah. We're going to continue with James Carafano. You can stay with us one more segment, I was told, Jim.
You bet.
Oh, good. Sure. I want to talk more about China and Taiwan in that segment. But one other question here. I saw on Sunday that Republican members of the House Foreign Affairs Committee put out their own findings on their inquiry into the Biden administration's behavior in the pullout. And they found that the Biden administration misled at the time, weren't straight with the American people, actually misled the American people with regard to what we knew and the details on the ground. A lot of finger pointing with the Pentagon. Pentagon came out later and said, no, wait, that's not how it happened at all. Should we get a full investigation if the Republicans take over the House this November?
Well, I would, and not because I'm partisan, because you know me, I'm not even a Republican, but it is important to learn from mistakes so we can do better.
Yeah.
And there were tons of mistakes, and I know some people claim their report is partisan, but can I tell you, somebody had literally tracked this minute to minute, and I was emailing with people on the ground and having talked to people that were in places like the door and everything else. I can absolutely tell you, this was an absolute disaster show. I mean, it was a complete dumpster fire. They were making it up and going along, and even as publicly they were making excuses for everything and seeing everything was going fine. Behind the scenes, it was unbelievable. So just really one quick example. They had no U.S. personnel at the airport in Qatar to help evacuate people. They had to use the embassy staff, which of course. And then they went and brought recruited retired State Department people to come and run it. They got there. They had no equipment, nothing. They ran the entire operation on WhatsApp. They got nothing from the U.S. government, not even pencils. I mean, everything. They had a big bar and steal everything to run this site to help evacuate people. So anybody that says that this was planned or, you know, it was chaos.
Meanwhile, in Bagram,
helpful people were the U.S. government.
In Bagram, we had built one of the most beautiful airports, prettier than you know, LaGuardia in New York, this great airport that was behind, you know, U.S. military security perimeters, and we just abandoned it.
And we abandoned the airport. We abandoned we didn't even brief our allies who were with us from day one. And we left them in a lurch. The reason why this country collapsed in a New York minute was because everybody just said, well, Biden is leaving us and abandoning us.
Yeah.
That's why it all fell apart.
Well, but, and Jim, what about the next time America has a righteous cause and we need to rally support and make an international coalition, which we may very well need to do at some point? Those countries will be forgiven if they say, yeah, you know what, maybe we'll take a pass this time.
Look, here's, you know, having gone all over the world and talked to lots of people, you know, since this incident, nobody has faith in Joe Biden. Everybody has faith in the American people.
All right. You know what? We needed to hear that. Thank you, Jim. All right. Jim Carafano is going to stay with us. We do need to talk about China and Taiwan and what's going on there and what can be done before the next disaster happens. We'll do that. We continue here with Jim J. Carafano, who, well, you said I looked like Fabio, right? I didn't misquote you, did I?
No, actually, he does have a fabulous head of hair.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen. And he was the winner of the John Hamm lookalike contest. So there is that.
A lot of people said that. Thank you. I appreciate that. The check is in the mail, Carafano. Talk to me about this delegation of members of Congress. Senator Markey of Massachusetts expecting to meet with the president of Taiwan over in Taipei. This, frankly, is probably a bigger deal than sort of the showy visit of Nancy Pelosi. Are we close to actually making some inroads here in terms of recognizing Taiwan's independence?
You know, I think that's one of those shiny silver things that sounds really important, but really doesn't really matter very much.
Okay.
I mean, the reality is regardless of Taiwan's status, the Chinese don't care. The Chinese want to take Taiwan back. The Taiwanese absolutely want to remain independent. And the U.S. has every concern and strategic interest in ensuring that Taiwan is independent. It's in our interest to be independent. None of that changes regardless of what we call anything. You know, I will say that the one argument that people maybe like to hear sometimes, but is actually true, is one of the issues you have to think about with Taiwan declaring its independence is, you know, in many ways, the government in Taiwan has a legitimate claim as the government of China.
Yeah.
So if they declare independence, they actually give that claim away, which not today, but someday the Chinese people might actually be looking to Taiwan for a legitimate government, which is one of the reasons why the communists threw them.
And so let me, I just want to clarify real fast. Yeah. So when we say that we believe in a one China policy, what we're really saying is Taiwan is the real one China, and eventually the mainland will go the right way.
You can make a legal argument for that. But, you know, the one China policy is basically, it's a nothing burger. It's like saying North America is one continent. we can obsess about these diplomatic things, but in the end, China doesn't really care about that. What China wants to do is absorb, you know, Taiwan. Like, you remember that 1950s movie with The Blob with Steve McQueen?
Yeah.
They want to take this thing, and the Taiwanese want, like the Ukrainians, this is just like Ukraine and Russia. The Taiwanese don't want to be ruled by communists.
Yeah.
They just don't. And like, you know, the Ukrainians just didn't really want to be run by Putin. And in both cases, it's in the U.S. strategic interest that the good guys remain independent, because it in the end of the day, it impacts us and the lives and livelihood and security and prosperity of American citizens as well. Because having China control Taiwan has, you know, it's a long thing, but letting China basically control the entire Pacific Ocean, which is Taiwan's a big step to doing that, that's not smart.
Yeah. Well, we've seen what's happened in Hong Kong. We do not want that happening to Taiwan. You brought up Putin. He has been critical of Pelosi's visit. Talk to us a little bit about how Russia plays into this and that alliance between, that really strengthening alliance between Russia and China.
Well, you know, of course, obviously they provide political support for each other, but one of the key things, you know, people always say, well, China's the number one threat in the world. That is absolutely true. Russia is China's stalking horse in Western Europe. Mm. China wants a weakened and divided Europe that is open for Chinese exploitation. They both want to push the Americans into the sea. So a victory for Russia in Europe is absolutely a victory for China and puts us more at risk and at danger. So, you know, we got to be smart about this. Look, I'm the first person to say I'm not super excited the way President Biden has led in Ukraine. I think there's super legitimate concerns about dumping money into a country that's battling to fight corruption. It's not even, they don't even want that. I think we've been slow in delivering military aid, which is the stuff that's making all the difference. We have a risk-averse president that is distracted by foreign policy and would rather bike on the beach and make up stuff to tell the American people. And that's not the war leader you want, but that's the war leader we have.
James J. Carafano, he's a national treasure. He's over at Heritage Foundation. And thanks for joining us on a sober day of reflection on America's standing in the world 1 year after the Afghanistan pullout. Thank you, sir.
Well, thanks for having me. And thanks for being a great and powerful and clear and important voice for people in the area to hear. You know, it's important to get real honest dialogue. And you guys are literally the best at that. So thank you.
I am not sending you a second check.
That is so nice.
It's 6:53.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.